Okay, today's sermon is going to be from Genesis chapter 24. It's going to go from verses 10 through 28. Last week we discussed the first 9 verses of Genesis chapter 24. And in those verses we saw that Abraham made a deal with his servant, having his servant swear to find a bride for his son. And this week the servant sets out to make good on his word. Now, I had thought that we would make it all the way through the chapter today, but there's just too much here, and so we're going to go with what we've got, and then we will finish up the chapter, God willing, next time. So then, let's talk about this journey. I'm going to let you read the passage yourself if you want to pause and read it. I'm not going to read through every bit of it. Like I say, there's a good bit there. But the servant is setting out, and he is well provisioned. He brings with him 10 camels loaded with gifts. So how much wealth exactly did he bring with him on this journey? Well, first off, the camels themselves are worth thousands of dollars. One online estimate that I found said that camels run about $700 apiece. And if that's true, then the servant is bringing $7,000 in just camels. And of course, the camels are loaded down with gifts. Now, how many gifts there are and how much value they are, we don't know. We're going to read here in this passage as we go down that he is going to have jewelry on these camels, bracelets and some kind of ring, an earring or a nose ring, we'll get into that. But based on the weight of these in gold, okay, just the weight, not even the craftsmanship that went into these, but just the weight in gold, if you were to melt them down, is about, in today's dollars, and of course the price of gold is variable, but it's about $6,000. So he's carrying thousands of dollars worth of jewelry, riding on thousands of dollars worth of camels, and he has other gifts to boot. Now, the servant is not going with all this wealth alone. He has other servants with him who are going to help him manage the camels, if nothing else, I'm sure. Verse 32 confirms that there were other servants with him. They don't get really any of the spotlight in this story, but they were there. So we have this entourage of servants with expensive camels loaded down with expensive gifts. Here's the point. The servant is not going out to look for a bride for Isaac empty-handed. He's loaded down with tens of thousands of dollars in wealth. And by the way, making a journey of thousands of miles to go and find a bride is not exactly cheap in and of itself. So we have an expectation here that Abraham is displaying ostentatious wealth. So some lessons here. First off, if you are looking for a good bride, men, then you had better be able to provide for a good bride. Abraham clearly recognized the value of a good wife for his son, and he also recognized the value of demonstrating to her that she could be provided for and that she was of great value. Men, you need to treat your women like they are of great value. And that might not always mean material wealth, but certainly you should treat your women well, and you should be willing to expend some wealth on them because they are of value. Abraham also recognized the value of making a good first impression, showing up in Nahor, the city where Abraham's extended family lives. Showing up there with a great deal of wealth demonstrates to everyone that he's the kind of person that you want to be around. He knows how to impress a girl. Guys, you need to impress your girl. It is not enough for you to say, well, I'm a decent guy. I'm not going to beat you up or anything. I'm not some kind of monster. Well, guess what? There are lots of other guys out there competing for the affection of young women who are not complete monsters. So going out and simply being a decent human being is not enough for you to win a good wife. If you want to win a good wife, you need to be a great man yourself, and you need to seek to become a greater man and to have a good first impression. You need to be a valuable person to society who is capable of bringing in some wealth and providing for your woman. And that is key to finding a good bride. Abraham also realized, and this of course is owing to the great distance, but he realized that it might take a lot to convince a family to send their daughter so far away, sight unseen. Remember, this servant has traveled thousands of miles to find a wife for Isaac, and he's going to be taking her thousands of miles back to the promised land. So, this is a big investment for the family, and they need to really be able to see that something is going on here with Abraham and his family, that they're going to be able to take care of this. They were taking a very strong risk that they will never see Rebekah again, and indeed, they never do see Rebekah again. So, convincing a family to do that obviously takes some kind of great means, and Abraham was willing to send those great means right along. Now, I'm not saying that you need to carry thousands and thousands of dollars in treasure, young men, if you want to impress a woman. In this case, something above and beyond was necessary. You know, it also demonstrates that Abraham had a great deal of trust in his servants. His servants, going on such a long journey with so much loot, could have just disappeared with it. They could have probably taken that money and made some investment with it and maybe began a good life for themselves in which they were not servants. But of course, Abraham, we expect, takes good care of his workers. And that is a mark of a good businessman. A good businessman takes good care of his workers. He provides them with enough that they don't really want to leave. They want to be good servants. And if you provide well for people, then they're not motivated to steal your loot and run away with it. So, if you want to be a good man like Abraham, take good care of your workers. Now, when they arrive at their destination, the servant asks for a sign. He asks for God to do not a miraculous thing, but an odd thing, an interesting thing that will indicate to him which woman he should pursue. So the sign he asks for is this. He intends to ask the girls coming to the well for water. And if a girl offers him water and also offers to water his camels and completes the job, then he will expect that she is the girl he is looking for. Now, of note, the servant has also done his legwork here. He's not just asking for a woman to be brought to him. The servant is at the well. And going to fetch water from the well was women's work. Men, ordinarily, did not do it. And not only that, this was a menial task that was something that a daughter, not a housewife, would ordinarily concern herself with. You know, the matron of the house has things to be doing. She can't be bothered with small tasks like going to fetch water. So normally, a virgin daughter would be the one doing this. And incidentally, Rebekah is the first girl to come by. What a coincidence. The very girl that they are looking for and is kin to Abraham. Now, of note, the text is very specific in saying that Rebekah is a virgin, saying that no man had yet known her. Now, men, I gave you some tips for finding a bride, and ladies, I want to tell you how to be a valuable bride so that you can find a good man. And the answer is that you need to save yourself sexually for your husband. Do not expect a good man to come into your life and shower you with riches and take you away as your knight in shining armor if you aren't willing to save yourself for him. If you choose to make yourself less valuable to men by engaging in sexual acts outside of marriage, then you should expect men of less value to come looking for you. And you should expect the valuable men to pass you by. Remember, The good men can get the good girls. So why should a good man, why should a valuable man stoop down to take spoiled goods? The answer is that they won't, and they shouldn't have to. So if you want a good man who will treat you well, and you want a valuable man who can provide for you and take care of you, then one of the things that you need to do to ensure that you catch that kind of man is save yourself for marriage. Do not engage in any kind of sexual activity outside of marriage, regardless of what the atheist secular culture around you is telling you will be good for you to do. Because in the end, you will end up with a worse result for your life if you do that, I guarantee you. So that was just an aside. Let's get back to talking about this servant and his sign. He is asked for a girl to come by and water the camels. And it leads us to an interesting question of whether or not believers should seek such signs today. Should we, you know, in looking for guidance in our life, ask God to, you know, hey, if a bird flies by, then I should do this, and if a, you know, if a bat flies by, I should do that. Should we be seeking signs from God? Well, first off, let's consider that in those times, God had not been revealed to us in the same way that he is revealed to us today. His son hadn't come, so he had not been seen face to face in that way. His Holy Spirit was not actively indwelling all believers, so believers did not have that direct connection to God. There was no holy book that had been written that we could use to discern God's will. In those days, there wasn't much way to know what God would want, and so asking for a sign was about the only way that it could be done. So seeing that we have alternatives now, we don't necessarily need to go looking for these signs and omens and things like this. Now, importantly for you to know, reading omens will ultimately be forbidden in the law. Now, obviously, we haven't gotten to the law yet, but you could look at Leviticus chapter 19, verse 26, or Deuteronomy 18, verse 10, both of which forbid the interpretation of omens, and that's what's going on here. And let's just be honest, there's a good reason that reading omens is forbidden in the law. It doesn't ordinarily work. You could make a sign to almost anything that you wanted. You know, I mean, if you were looking for a bride, you could say, oh, dear God, if I'm supposed to marry this girl, then I pray that she would wake up in the morning and put her shoes on. Well, you know, she's very likely to do that. So there you go. Your sign worked, and you could start saying, well, God told me to marry such and such a girl. It would not work very well. It would just be a farce. And so the interpretation of omens is a bad idea. Now, this doesn't mean that God doesn't ever give a miraculous sign for anything. God does give miraculous signs throughout the scriptures. And if someone ever says that they speak for God, they should be able to give some miraculous sign to demonstrate that what they are proposing to you did in fact come from God. But God is not at your disposal to alter your physical environment in order to communicate with you at your whim. You're not in charge of your relationship with God. God is in charge with the relationship with you. And so simply saying, I want God to do such and such to prove to me that I should or should not do such and such is a little bit silly. God is the boss. You are not the boss. Now, that said, the servant has not done wrong here by asking Jehovah for a sign, because the practice has not yet been forbidden. It has not yet come up in the law. There is nothing indicating to him that he should not be doing this. And this is a special case, and God does choose to honor the sign that was requested. Now, we might also note that the servant did not try to game the system. He picked a sign which was a fairly unlikely one. Because what girl wandering around, going to the well, What girl will do the work of watering 10 camels? That's a lot of work. She's going to have to go to the well and be, you know, drawing up a lot of water, dumping it out. Camels, I'm sure, can drink a great deal of water. What kind of girl is going to do the work of watering 10 camels for perfect strangers while they sit around and do nothing? It seems like they could water their own camels, doesn't it? So, finding a girl who is going to perform this sign seems highly unlikely. So asking for it is a little more reasonable than asking for, you know, the sign that someone wakes up in the morning and puts their shoes on, like I used as an example earlier. Then again, the sign might be more of a test to see if the girl is suitable than it is intended to be a miraculous sign. A girl, for instance, who could do all of the work of watering 10 camels would be someone who's in good health. And a girl who would do all the work of watering 10 camels has a true heart for service, which is a sign of a good bride. And not only that, she has a great work ethic because she's going to sit there and do the work until the work gets done. Those are both great things to have in a bride. So maybe the intent of the sign is just to find a girl who is suitable, who will be a good bride, better than the other girls who wouldn't do all of that extra work. Then again, in this case, she might just be a gold digger because it's pretty obvious that these guys have money to spare. Maybe there would be more girls who would be willing to water those camels than we might initially think. Regardless, we note that the servant is not trying to rig the game. He has a difficult sign, and not only that, he offers no encouragement to her to continue the work, even when she comes along looking beautiful. In verse 21, we see that the servant sits back silently and watches her to see if she will complete the sign on her own. He doesn't try to force her hand. And of course, she does, in fact, complete the sign. And when the servant sees it, he lavishes Rebecca with gifts. He gives her bracelets. He gives her a ring. Is either an earring or a nose ring. We'll discuss that next time. But incidentally, the jewelry that he gives her makes an excellent bride price. When the law comes, Deuteronomy is going to set the value of a virgin bride at 50 shekels of silver. In today's prices, that would be worth about $2,500. But the jewelry that he gives her, as we've already noted, is worth, in weight alone, $6,000. So he is giving an excellent bride price here for Rebecca. And of course they start talking, he finds out where she lives, and when he finds out that she is kin to Abraham, he truly knows that this trip will be successful, that Jehovah has blessed him in going out and has led him to the girl that he is there to find. And so we will stop there. And the conclusion is this: Abraham's servant has made a journey to fulfill his oath. He has brought with him great wealth. And when he arrives, he asks God for a sign, and it is a sign which God fulfills. And not only that, but we've learned a couple of things about what it is to be a valuable spouse. Those who are courting, who are seeking a spouse, should learn well from it. Girls, you need to save yourself until marriage. And men, you need to make yourself valuable. You need to be gaining wealth. You need to be able to provide. You need to be doing things that will put you on that path to being a good husband. And in addition to that, we would hope that young ladies learn to have a servant heart, that they learn to have good work ethic. And so, with that, we will conclude. And next time, we will look at the sealing of the marital deal between Isaac and Rebecca. For those of you who might be listening to this message away from your computer and are looking for more like it, you can find us at eastjordan.church.